But the chief and special glory of Thomas, one which he has shared with none of the Catholic doctors, is that the fathers of Trent made it part of the order of conclave to lay upon the altar, together with sacred scripture, and the decrees of the supreme pontiffs, the Summa of Thomas Aquinas, whence to seek counsel, reason, and inspiration. 23. A last triumph was reserved for this incomparable man, namely, to compel the homage, praise, and admiration of even the very enemies of the Catholic name, for it has come to light that there were not lacking among the leaders of heretical sects some openly declared that, if the teaching of Thomas Aquinas were only taken away, they could easily battle with all Catholic teachers, gain the victory, and abolish the Church. 37. A vain hope, indeed, but no vain testimony. 24. Therefore, venerable brethren, as often as we contemplate the good, the force, and the singular advantages to be derived from his philosophic discipline which our fathers so dearly loved, we think it hazardous that its special honor should not always, and everywhere remain, especially when it is established that daily experience, and the judgment of the greatest men, and, to crown all, the voice of the Church, have favored the scholastic philosophy. Moreover, to the old teaching a novel system of philosophy has succeeded here and there, in which we fail to perceive those desirable and wholesome fruits which the Church and civil society itself would prefer. For it pleased the struggling innovators of the 16th century to philosophize without any respect for faith, the power of inventing in accordance with his own pleasure and bent being asked and given in turn by each one. Hence, it was natural that systems of philosophy multiplied beyond measure, and conclusions differing and clashing one with another arose about those matters even which are the most important in human knowledge. From a mass of conclusions men often come to wavering and doubt, and knows not how easily the mind slips from doubt to error. But, as men are apt to follow the lead given them, this new pursuit seems to have caught the souls of certain Catholic philosophers, throwing aside the patrimony of ancient wisdom, chose rather to build up a new edifice, and to strengthen and complete the old by aid of the new ill-advisedly, in sooth, and not without detriment to the sciences. 4. A multiform system of this kind, which depends on the authority and choice of any professor, has a foundation open to change, and consequently gives us a philosophy not firm and stable and robust like that of old, but tottering and feeble. And if, perchance, it sometimes finds itself scarcely equal to sustain the shock of its foes, it should recognize that the cause and the blame lie in itself. In saying this, we have no intention of discountenancing the learned and able men bring their industry and erudition, and, what is more, the wealth of new discoveries, to the service of philosophy, for, of course, we understand that this tends to the development of learning. But one should be very careful lest all or his chief labor be exhausted in these pursuits, and in mere erudition. And the same thing is true of sacred theology, which, indeed, may be assisted and illustrated by all kinds of erudition, though it is absolutely necessary to approach it in the grave manner of the scholastics, in order that, the forces of revelation and reason being united in it, it may continue to be the invincible bulwark of the faith. 38. 25. With wise forethought, therefore, not a few of the advocates of philosophic studies, when turning their minds recently to the practical reform of philosophy, aim at restoring the renowned teaching of Thomas Aquinas, and winning it back to its ancient beauty. 26. We have learned with great joy that many members of your order, venerable brethren, have taken this plan to heart, and while we earnestly commend their efforts, we exhort them to hold fast to their purpose, and remind each and all of you that our first and most cherished idea is that you should all furnish to studious youth a generous and copious supply of those purest streams of wisdom flowing inexhaustibly from the precious fountainhead of the angelic doctor. 27. Many are the reasons why we are so desirous of this. In the first place, then, since in the tempest that is on us the Christian faith is being constantly assailed by the machinations and craft of a certain false wisdom, all youths, but especially those are the growing hope of the Church, should be nourished on the strong and robust food of doctrine, that so, mighty in strength, and armed at all points, they may become habituated to advance the cause of religion with force and judgment, being ready always, according to the apostolic counsel, to satisfy every one that asketh you a reason of that hope which is in you. 39. And that they may be able to exhort in sound doctrine, and to convince the gainsayers. 40. Many of those, with minds alienated from the faith, hate Catholic institutions, claim reason as their sole mistress and guide. Now, we think that, apart from the supernatural help of God, nothing is better calculated to heal those minds, and to bring them into favor with the Catholic faith and the solid doctrine of the fathers and the scholastics, so clearly and forcibly demonstrate the firm foundations of the faith, its divine origin, its certain truth, the arguments that sustain it, the benefits it has conferred on the human race, and its perfect accord with reason, in a manner to satisfy completely minds open to persuasion, however unwilling and repugnant. 28. Domestic and civil society even, which, as all see, is exposed to great danger from this plague of perverse opinions, would certainly enjoy a far more peaceful and secure existence if a more wholesome doctrine were taught in the universities and high schools, one more in conformity with the teaching of the Church, such as is contained in the works of Thomas Aquinas. 29.4. The teachings of Thomas on the true meaning of liberty, which at this time is running into license, on the divine origin of all authority, on laws and their force, on the paternal and just rule of princes, on obedience to the higher powers, on mutual charity one toward another, on all of these and kindred subjects, have very great and invincible force to overturn those principles of the new order which are well known to be dangerous to the peaceful order of things and to public safety. In short, all studies ought to find hope of advancement and promise of assistance in this restoration of philosophic discipline which we have proposed. The arts were wont to draw from philosophy, as from a wise mistress, sound judgment and right method, and from it, also, their spirit, as from the common fount of life. When philosophy stood stainless in honor and wise in judgment, then, as facts and constant experience showed, the liberal arts flourished as never before or since, but, neglected and almost blotted out, they lay prone, since philosophy began to lean to error and join hands with folly. Nor will the physical sciences themselves, which are now in such great repute, and by the renown of so many inventions draw such universal admiration to themselves, suffer detriment, but find very great assistance in the restoration of the ancient philosophy. 4. The investigation of facts and the contemplation of nature is not alone sufficient for their profitable exercise and advance, but, when facts have been established, it is necessary to rise and apply ourselves to the study of the nature of corporeal things, to inquire into the laws which govern them, and the principles whence their order and varied unity and mutual attraction in diversity arise. To such investigations it is wonderful what force and light and aid the scholastic philosophy, if judiciously taught, would bring. 30. And here it is well to note that our philosophy can only by the grossest injustice be accused of being opposed to the advance and development of natural science. 4. When the scholastics, following the opinion of the holy fathers, always held in anthropology that the human intelligence is only led to the knowledge of things without body and matter by things sensible, they well understood that nothing was of greater use to the philosopher than diligently to search into the mysteries of nature, and to be earnest and constant in the study of physical things, and this they confirmed by their own example. For St. Thomas, blessed Albertus Magnus, and other leaders of the scholastics were never so wholly wrapped in the study of philosophy as not to give large attention to the knowledge of natural things, and, indeed, the number of their sayings and writings on these subjects, which recent professors approve of and admit to harmonize with truth, is by no means small. Moreover, in this very age many illustrious professors of the physical sciences openly testify that between certain and accepted conclusions of modern physics and the philosophic principles of the schools there is no conflict worthy of the name. 31. While, therefore, we hold that every word of wisdom, every useful thing by whomsoever discovered or planned, ought to be received with a willing and grateful mind, we exhort you, venerable brethren, in all earnestness, to restore the golden wisdom of St. Thomas, and to spread it far and wide for the defense and beauty of the Catholic faith, for the good of society, and for the advantage of all the sciences. The wisdom of St. Thomas, we say, for if anything is taken up with too great subtlety by the scholastic doctors, or too carelessly stated, if there be anything that ill agrees with the discoveries of a later age, or, in a word, improbable in whatever way it does not enter our mind to propose that for imitation to our age, let carefully selected teachers endeavor to implant the doctrine of Thomas Aquinas in the minds of students, and set forth clearly his solidity and excellence over others. Let the universities already founded, or to be founded by you, illustrate and defend this doctrine, and use it for the refutation of prevailing errors. But, lest the false for the true or the corrupt for the pure be drunken, be ye watchful that the doctrine of Thomas be drawn from his own fountains, or at least from those rivulets which, derived from the very fount, have thus far flowed, according to the established agreement of learned men, pure and clear. Be careful to guard the minds of youth from those which are said to flow thence, but in reality are gathered from strange and unwholesome streams. 32. But well do we know that vain will be our efforts, unless, venerable brethren, he helps our common cause, in the words of divine scripture, is called the God of all knowledge, 41, by which we are also admonished that every best gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, 42, and again, if any of you want wisdom, let him ask of God, giveth to all men abundantly, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, 43. 33. Therefore in this also let us follow the example of the angelic doctor, never gave himself to reading or writing without first begging the blessing of God, modestly confess that whatever he knew he had acquired not so much by his own study and labor, as by the divine gift, and therefore let us all, in humble and united prayer, beseech God to send forth the spirit of knowledge and of understanding to the children of the church, and open their senses for the understanding of wisdom, and that we may receive fuller fruits of the divine goodness, offer up to God the most efficacious patronage of the Blessed Virgin Mary, is called the Seat of Wisdom, having at the same time as advocate Saint Joseph, the most chaste spouse of the Virgin, and Peter and Paul, the chiefs of the apostles, whose truth renewed the earth which had fallen under the impure blight of error, filling it with the light of heavenly wisdom. 34. In fine, relying on the divine assistance, and confiding in your pastoral zeal, most lovingly we bestow on all of you, venerable brethren, on all the clergy, and the flocks committed to your charge, the apostolic benediction, as a pledge of heavenly gifts, and a token of our special esteem. Given at St. Peter's, in Rome, the 4th day of August, 1879, the second year of our pontificate. Leo XIII.